The next two cases, 99-1582, Gahanna Jefferson Public Schools Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision et al., and 99-1583, Dublin City Schools Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision et al., been consolidated for hearing. For the appellant, Mr. Gorey.
I thank the court. The issue in this case is whether or not the Board of Education presented sufficient evidence to carry its burden of proof to prove that one, a sale took place, and two, that the sale price was as set forth on the conveyancee. In other words, the Board of Education presented evidence of a sale and presented evidence of what the sale price was. We think that the BTA's decision in this case is just extraordinary in every respect.
Would you find this decision as extraordinary if both of these contracts had not contained the clause about the property being sold, being available for sale or whatever for the same price as the partnership?
That is an extraordinary provision, and I think that answers certainly all of the questions that everybody has about what was going on, about the fact why you have an exempt conveyance fee form. I mean, we all know why an exempt conveyance fee form was filed because the buyer treated the sale of the real estate as a purchase of a partnership agreement. I mean, we don't have to put blinders on and stick our heads in the sand like the BTA did. What that means is that the evidence the BTA held rebutted the Board of Education's evidence, the conveyance fee form, was simply not relevant. We understand, I mean, it didn't make the sale any more likely or less likely to be an arm's length sale, or make it any more likely or less likely that the sale price reflected the true value of the property, because we all know why the exempt conveyance fee form was filed. I know why it was filed. The property owner's attorney knows why it was filed. I hope this court knows why it was filed. So consequently, it's not relevant to the issues that were before the Board of Revision. It's not legally relevant, and it's not factually relevant. The BTA erred in pulling out this conveyance fee form and saying, here is a document without testimony that rebuts the Board of Education, that rebuts the conveyance fee form. that rebuts the closing statement, which says that a sale took place for the agreed upon purchase price, that reflects that rebuts the purchase agreement, which is clearly the purchase agreement for a sale of real estate. How many agreements involving the sale of partnership interest, for instance, do you see where the agreement says upon closing, title and possession of the property transfer to the buyer? Well, you know, that has nothing to do with the sale of a partnership interest.
In the Heathermore case, which is 99-1583, there's a statement, and your statement of facts says a certified copy of certificate of cancellation for Newcomb was filed with BOR. I've looked in the file. I can't find that.
That was presented to the Board of Revision, and I think it was included in the supplement that we...
Okay, and then it also talks about two deeds, and the only deed that I've been able to find is from Heathermore to Associates. I think there's a jump in a title gap there, but be that as it may, how do you, this court has decided the Salem case, which I'm sure you're aware of, was cited in the Salem Medical.
In the BTA's decision?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was cited in the BTA's decision, but it was cited by your opponent, I believe.
Sir, I don't recall that being cited in the appellant's brief, I'm sorry, in the appellee's brief.
Well, the case basically was where stock was a corporation whose apparent asset was
In that case, you had a transfer of the stock of a corporation with the claim that the price paid for the stock somehow indicated the true value of the property, and that's false. I don't have any problem with that at all. What I would submit to the court is that that has nothing to do with the facts of our case.
Buying a limited partnership or a partnership, which again is personal property, I think we all agree to that. A limited partnership interest or a general partnership interest, and
tangible.
Stock is personal property again. Why aren't those similar?
Okay, I would point out to the court the facts of this case. First, there was a closing statement, a settlement statement, that shows that the real estate transferred. There's also a purchase agreement that says that the real estate is being transferred at closing. The purchase agreement, and I cited the agreement in my brief, the purchase agreement says upon closing there's a transfer of the real estate. There is a transfer of the leases. There's a transfer of all the equipment. That upon closing, the seller will provide the buyer with good and marketable title to the real estate. All right. So clearly, and you'll note that the property owner has not claimed, that there was no sale of the real estate. Everybody acknowledges that. In their brief, the property owner says that what sold was more, quote, more than the real estate.
We know that in one of the, I forget which one now, the agreement even lists the personal property
sure.
at the end.
And the law in that issue is, the law in that respect is well settled. This court has said time and time again, if you are a property owner and you claim that more than the real estate was involved in the sale, then you have the burden of proof to come forward and present evidence that shows, one, what part of the sale price is to be allocated to the intangible assets, what part is allocated to personal property. The BTA put the burden of proof on us to do that, and of course we can't possibly do that.
Could there be possible tax consequences by buying the partnership rather than the realty?
I think there could be, and I think that's why you had a closing on the real estate and a settlement statement. Because there clearly was, everybody agrees, a sale of the real estate for the price set forth in the closing statement. Now you'll find
closing statement. One thing that bothers me a little bit, it's not signed.
Well, I think the one in the copy that of the closing statement that was provided in the Gahanna Jefferson case was not signed. The closing statement in the Dublin case was, however, signed by all of the parties. Those documents were provided to us upon discovery. We had no, we took what we could get. But what I want to make clear the court understands is that there was a sale of the real estate. Nobody disputes that. There was a sale of the Gahanna property for $15.5 million. There was a sale of the Dublin property for $10,750,000. Uncontested evidence of both of those facts were presented to the BTA.
When you say there was a sale of the property, that would indicate to me that there would have been a deed transferred from one party to another for value.
That's correct. The purchase agreement required the seller to provide a general warranty deed to Associated Estates for the real estate.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. And in fact, the deed, each of the deeds that Associated Estates has says the property is being transferred to Associated Estates for $10 and other valuable
okay.
consideration.
That was in the dissolution of the partnership.
The deed in the one case is the seller was NewCam, but
right.
the deed was from Heathermore to Associated Estates.
That's the one I can't find.
Right. In the other case, the deed was from Christopher Wren, the seller, directly to
Associated
Estates as pursuant to the closing statement and the purchase property agreement. The claim that there was more involved than just real estate is bogus. And we know that because the purchase agreement says that the purchase price of the partnership interest in each case, $10,750,000, purchase price of the partnership is exactly the same as the purchase price of the real estate. We know for a fact that the real estate sold, and we know for a fact that the purchase agreement says there is to be a sale of the real estate at closing, buyer takes possession, buyer takes title. Doesn't matter how it got title. It is a standard, ordinary, routine purchase agreement of an apartment complex.
Let me ask a question. If they would have bought 50% of the partnership interest for $5 million, how would you value the real estate at that point?
If the purchase agreement did not have the clause in it that says that you can purchase half of the real estate or half of the partnership interest for $15.5 million, then I would say that a purchase of a partnership interest, we don't have a value. There is no evidence in that case what the real estate sold for. In this case, we have evidence of what the real estate sold for in each case.
So it's this clause about if you don't want to buy the partnership, you can buy the realty, that you're really pinning your case
and,
on.
Well, what I'm saying is that the purchase agreement shows the sale of the real estate. The closing statement tells us what the purchase price was. That is sufficient evidence to carry a Board of Education's proof. No one has contested that. The BTA has said that the conveyance fee messes up the matter. The property owner says
exemption statement.
Yeah, the exempt conveyance fee shows that there was more involved than just the sale of the real estate. I say fine. Prove it. I don't make that claim. Property owner makes that claim. The rules of evidence are one, if you make a claim in a legal proceeding, you've got to prove it. Two, the property owner had the burden of proof. Three, the rule has always been, if you don't have the evidence in your possession, you don't have to prove it.
Now, as I understand, at the Board of Revision, there's no subpoena powers.
That is correct.
However, at the Board of Tax Appeals, there are subpoena powers.
That is
so
correct.
You could have called somebody in here for the board. I see one of the problems is the board said, you know, there's just these papers.
If the court would analyze the obligation of each of the parties in terms of the burden of proof, we the Board of Education, this court had clearly held, did not have the burden of proof to prove that the sale was not an arm's length sale. We didn't have the burden to prove that the partnership interest had value.
Correct.
We know it didn't have value because the sale of the partnership interest and sale of the real estate was for the same sum. How can the BTA tell me I have to prove that the partnership had value when their own documents tell me that it's the same purchase price regardless of what you call it? What am I to do in a case like that? The Board of Education did not have the burden of proof. The property owner made the claim. This court wonders what the facts are. Just ask who had the burden to prove the fact that is claimed, not the Board of Education. We did our duty. The property owner didn't. I thank the court.
Thank you. Ms. Johnson.
As the appellee, as the person who didn't, as the party who did not initiate a complaint before the Board of Revision, had any burden of proof. Before the Board of Revision, the property owner appeared in one case and didn't appear in the other case. In both cases, the Board of Education presented the conveyance, the exempt conveyance fee form, along with some hearsay testimony that they heard that there was a transaction involving these two parties. Based upon the lack of any evidence to prove an arm's length sale, the Board of Revision affirmed the auditor's value. From that decision, the Board of Education became an appellate before the Board of Tax Appeals. As the appellate before the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Education had the burden of proof that there was an arm's length sale and what the value of that property was. It is the position of the property owner that the burden of proof was never met by the Board of Education. The Board of Education keeps on trying to shift that burden to the property owner, but first it must establish something by competent probative evidence in order to shift the burden. And that is what it has not done.
Now, the exemption form seems to be sort of the center of this thing. As far as the burden of proof goes, how did that show anything? The BTA seemed to indicate that.
That was the BTA's contention. I was going to point that out to the court. The property owner never, other than relying on the evidence that was submitted below, never produced that evidence. It wasn't the evidence that it showed at all. This was the Board of Education's evidence, and now it doesn't like the evidence that it presented to the Board of Revision.
That exemption form rebutted any presumption that the sale was for true value or anything?
The exemption form was filed and signed by Martin Fishman. He's an attorney. He does many transactions. He does both exempt conveyances as well as most of the cases with Associated Estates in Franklin County involve the standard conveyance fee form. Most of those cases, no one shows up because they don't argue that it's not an arm's length sale. They use the one form when it's an arm's length sale and another form when they think it's appropriate. And in this case, Mr. Fishman signed the form, filed an affidavit, and did not think that the transfer of this partnership interest was an arm's length transaction. And that's why that particular form was used. Somehow or other, by a footnote, the school board contends that that was a fallacious filing. There's no evidence to support that. An exempt filing was used. It was signed by an attorney. He signed an affidavit. He knows what he's doing by making those sworn statements.
you think the exemption form rebuts anything that the sale price?
I think the exemption form shows that it, there are two sets of forms, and if you read the statutes, one form is used, and the standard conveyance fee form asks for conditions of the sale, whether there was a lease back, and other items that would indicate perhaps that it shouldn't be a good sale. But generally, when an exempt sale is filed, it's because it's not a traditional arm's-length sale between a willing buyer and a willing seller, each acting under for their own best interest and all the other characteristics of an arm's-length transaction.
I have a question about the purchase agreement, there was two ways you could buy this. You could either buy the partnership or you could buy the realty. Now, why shouldn't the value set forth for the realty establish value?
Well, I think the one thing about this case is that in that last paragraph, as well as in the beginning recitation, they do talk about items other than just the realty. They talk about personal property, they talk about assumption of leases, and other non-real estate items.
But if I bought the realty, wouldn't I normally get the leases?
Normally you would get the leases, but this is very akin to the Salem Medical case, where they bought, the sole asset of that corporation was an office building. And it was a doctor's office building, and it was encumbered by leases. And this court found, and properly so, that the sale of the stock was a sale of a going concern. So, and the leases here, I believe, involved more than the tenant leases. It involved leases of personal property and other things that would make this property operate as an apartment complex. So they did buy and include everything that makes this apartment complex a going concern. So the purchase price reflected more than just the real estate alone.
But I could have bought the real estate for...
You could have bought the real estate, and then you would also, according to that paragraph, been required to transfer these other items. I think it's important in this case that before the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Revision did initiate some discovery, and it obtained a copy of the closing statement and a copy of the purchase of the partnership interest. But it did nothing more. Before the BTA, it didn't present any witnesses. It could have subpoenaed someone from the property owner. It could have subpoenaed somebody from the seller who were local people there. But the Board of Education chose to do nothing. In fact, according to the BTA's rules, they were supposed to at least file their exhibits with the board 7 days in advance of hearing. They waited until the day of hearing to file any exhibits. They never subpoenaed anybody. They never deposed anybody. They basically didn't do anything. And now they complain to this court that the BTA basically held that they didn't meet their burden of proof. I think the BTA has, and this court has said many times, wide discretion to determine the weight of the evidence. And considering the contracts themselves or the purchase of the partnership interests do not establish on their face an arm's length sale. Yes, they do establish a transaction between some parties, but they don't establish an arm's length sale. And if they
Now, which sale are you talking about?
I'm talking about the sale of the partnership interest set forth.
That was an arm's length transaction, wasn't it? I mean, does anybody dispute that?
I dispute that totally. There's no evidence to support that an arm's length transaction occurred. Yes, there was a purchase agreement, but was it an arm's length transaction? There's no evidence in the record to show that whatsoever. And that was the burden of the Board of Education to prove.
There's no evidence in the record that there was ever any sale of a partnership interest.
I believe that in one of the cases, there was the dissolution of the partnership interest that when we supplied the whole packet of information, not just the contract, which was, the Board of Tax Appeals reserved ruling on those exhibits.
That may be the one that I can't find. There's supposedly a certificate of cancellation for the Newcomb partnership. And it's not in the record.
Well, I didn't file a supplement with the court, I know it was in the packet of information that I had received. I think it's very important that in this particular case, you asked earlier in the former argument about identifying and authenticating documents. And that wasn't done in this case. And as you noted, one of the documents was not even signed. And without a signed document, without any witness to identify it, without any witness to testify as to the terms of the sale, in light of the exempt transfer that was already in evidence, I don't think the Board of Education has established that this particular or either of these two transactions are arm's length sales.
But the BTA accepted those documents, and that's not a, you didn't file cross.
The BTA accepted those documents for what limited worth they may have. They accepted them. They didn't really rely on them because they said there was nobody there to testify about them.
But shouldn't the documents speak for themselves? I mean, you can't have someone come in and vary the terms of the documents, can you?
But Evidence Rule 901, I believe, says for a document, there has to be somebody breathing some life into that document. And the bare document itself, I've read the document several times. There's nothing in there, in my mind, that establishes that this sale was an arm's length transaction. I'm not refuting that the property transferred, but there's a difference, and that's on an exempt conveyance fee form. They list A through W of reasons why properties transfer, which I believe all of them, if you read through the list, of are situations.
But those are all transfers after the quote sale.
Correct.
So we're not really concerned with those transfers, are we? The transfer after the partnership had been purchased, that's when the transfers for the deeds took place. So we're not, are we concerned with those? Aren't we concerned with the transfer from Christopher Wren, and I think it was the Newcomb partnership, to Associated? Associated owned the partnership at the time the transfers took place that you're talking about.
Right.
So.
And they acquired the partnership interest in these two transactions.
Okay.
And with that partnership interest came the real property, and when they transferred the real property, they filed.
They had already owned the real property when they transferred it.
Well, technically.
They owned the partnership.
They owned the partnership and then to get, then they transferred that pursuant to an exemption from real property conveyance fee form that was filed with the county auditor along with the deeds.
How can you look at this purchase agreement, though, and not get the impression that the partnership, that the real estate was worth, you know, $10.7 million, I think, in one, excuse me, $15 million something in the other one? I mean, they put that in there.
They put that in there, but then they talk about other items that are also being subject to the transfer. So, yes, there is a value stated in the document, but that value includes more than just the realty. And because the Board of Education was the appellant before the Board of Revision and the Board of Tax Appeals, it had the burden to establish the value of the subject realty. This is very similar to the case of corporate exchange, where we had the two properties transferring in the same office park on the same day, very similar buildings. One was a little larger than another, and one was, I believe, built a year later. And this court held that even though there was an arm's length sale, they failed to establish the value of each parcel, and therefore they failed to meet their burden of proof. I respectfully submit that in this case, the Board of Education has failed in its burden of proof to establish, one, an arm's length sale of the subject property, and two, the value of the real estate that was involved in the transfer of the partnership interest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gorey, you have about a minute and 10 seconds left.
I would ask the court to reexamine the BTA's three-part holding. One, the Board of Education submitted sufficient evidence to prove there was a sale. That's not contested. The closing statement says there was a sale, and it gives you the purchase price. That is all the evidence you need, we need. Even the BTA held that. Two, the exempt conveyance statement, the deeds, and the purchase agreement are certainly the evidentiary equivalent of a conveyance fee form. There's no magic in any of these documents. All a Board of Education has to do is prove, one, a sale took place, two, what the sale price was. No one involved in this case has disputed that there was a sale and that the sale price was what is set forth in the closing statement. I believe this court has to accept those two facts. They're in the record. They're uncontested. Burden of proof never shifts during the course of an appeal. So whoever had the burden of proof at the Board of Revision keeps that burden of proof at the BTA and on an appeal. Doesn't shift. The exempt fees, I thank the court.
Thanks. Case will be submitted to the court for decision. You'll be advised of the result. Thank you.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. These hearings with the Supreme Court of Ohio. Master Commissioners, now stand adjourned.